for us to consider it. We're in the book of Judges. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Judges. Judges, the 8th chapter. We looked last week at the famous story, of course, of the battle with the Midianites. And I want to show you here something that, Gideon, who God called a mighty man of valor, is showing his valor now. I mean, he has kind of stepped up to the plate, and he is going to handle a circumstance that could have otherwise been disastrous by, as Jesus would put it, being wise as a serpent, yet harmless as a dove. And we're in Judges, the 8th chapter. Let's begin at verse 1. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou calledest not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us now as we look yet again at your word, that you would teach us through it, help us to grow up in our understanding of it, and to be a challenge to live for you in greater fashion, to apply the truth of your word to our own lives. And we'll thank and praise you now for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're stepping into this story now where they've just had this great battle with the Midianites, and they're chasing them. They're in the middle of chasing them down. Now, how many does Gideon have? And the Midianites just, they've wiped out a lot of them. They're still chasing them. They're scattering. They're everywhere. And they're chasing now this last core of Midianites. But in the process of that, I mean, in the middle of all of this, by the way, have you ever been busy doing something that was important, and then somebody wants to come to you and whine, I'm going to say whine, about something that is trivial? I mean, here's Gideon. He's trying to get the job done. They're trying to win this battle that God has told him to fight. And in the middle of all of this, the Ephraimites are just upset. Why didn't you call us sooner? Now, by the way, Gideon, what could have, give me some things that Gideon could have said at this moment. Okay, one is, I did. Gideon asked for help, right, all along. He could have said, I did. What else? Jonathan. You're here now. Come on. Shut up and let's go, right? Oh, I didn't say that. We've got kids in the room. What else? I'm busy. Can we talk about this later? I'm busy. What else? I'm just asking. I mean, you and I think about this. Have you ever been in this situation? I mean, would you agree that Gideon's really kind of under the gun here? There's a lot on his plate, and the Midianites come whining to him. I think what I would have been saying is, hey, your complaint is not with me because I didn't choose who I was fighting the battle with. I started out with 22,000 men, and God took me down to 300. So your complaint is with the Lord, right? I mean, there's a lot of things Gideon might have said. And yet Gideon, this mighty man of valor, Gideon handles this with such grace and such, mercy toward these people. It's incredible. Take a look at verse 2. And he said unto them, What have I done now? Look at what it says. In comparison of you. Now, by the way, the Ephraimites have already joined the battle. If you go back and read it, you remember, they've already joined the battle. They're in the middle of this battle. They're just complaining that they didn't get to be there for all of the upfront glory. They kind of came in after the chase had begun. And that's kind of why they're complaining. And so Gideon says, What have I done now in comparison? What Gideon is about to do is say to them, Look at what you've done and realize that what you've done, and he's going to say, it's greater than anything I've done. Now, they have taken captive a couple of the leaders of the Midianites, and Gideon says, Look, I didn't take these kings captive. You did that. I mean, Gideon is going to really just kind of point out to them. And now, is Gideon being a politician? I'm asking you. Is Gideon just being a politician? In a way, yes, as our understanding of politics is today, okay? Ah, he is being a peacemaker. By the way, is Gideon about to say anything that's not true? No, he's not. Politicians, that's where, okay, right? All right, but Gideon's not going to say anything that's not true. Gideon is simply saying that, you know what? What you do for the Lord is equally as important as what somebody else is doing for the Lord. Do you agree with me that the guy who's struggling with the church of 27 people over there for the last 7 years, serving the Lord, being faithful, doing what God's asking him to do, you believe that he has the same reward as a guy over here with a church of 3,000 that's, what do you think? If they're being faithful to what God has asked them to do, are they both accomplishing? Yes. And that's all Gideon's trying to do, is bring this into perspective. He said, listen, God's using both of us. And so I love this. Gideon is just, he just is very wise, and I'm not sure I would have done it this way. He says, is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? He says, yes, you've gleaned grapes. I've got a whole vintage. All you seem to have done is glean the grapes, but what you got was a great advantage, perhaps a greater advantage than what I did over here. We're both doing what God. Look where Gideon goes in verse 3. God hath delivered. He brings this into perspective for them. Listen, you're doing what God's asked you to do. God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. Remember, they were, one was killed on the stone of Oreb, one was killed at the wine press of Zeb or whatever it was. And I mentioned last week that probably called the stone after he died there, and probably called that after he died there. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then look what it says. Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. Wow, Gideon is pretty smart here. Because what could have been a major distraction, the battle is not over. They're still chasing down another 15,000 Midianites. And there's still only 300 in Gideon's group. And they're chasing them down. And he could have been distracted. He could have allowed what this conversation was to take his heart away from the things of God and not focus the right way. But Gideon, this mighty man of valor, chooses instead to offer peace. Let's just make some applications here to our lives real quickly. And I know that this is not in this story, all right? I'm aware of that. What we're doing is kind of jumping from this to the Matthew 5 passage where we're called to be peacemakers, to the Romans 12 passage where, if it's possible, we're to live peaceably with all men, to this concept that's spoken of in the Scripture. So here we are. Here's Gideon. Can you think of a way that you and I would benefit from an attitude like Gideon when someone is allowing their, let's start here. What's motivating the Ephraimites here? What do you think? Pride is probably the number one thing, right? We should have been there alongside of you. We can no longer say that we were part of that battle. And so pride is probably the number one thing. Now Gideon could have, by the way, rebuked them, right, for pride. He could have. But Gideon chooses this route of being a peacemaker, of trying to get them to rethink, to understand what God is accomplishing, what God is accomplishing, and he puts it back on the Lord. Can you think of ways in which you and I could set our pride aside when someone challenges us? This is a challenge to Gideon's decision-making. It's a challenge to Gideon's authority. It's a challenge to the methods that Gideon has chosen to go this route, whatever you keep filling in the blank. If you're ever in leadership, think about this. If you said to your pastor, as graciously as the Ephraimites have said to Gideon, what do you think you were doing? What would be the temptation of a pastor when his authority is challenged? If you said to your dad, right, what? Why didn't you? Can you hear that? Have you ever been a dad where your kids challenge And wow, I love Gideon. He is a mighty man of valor, and he's showing us just something unique here. When he could have allowed himself to be distracted, he simply says, I'm going to put the fire out very quickly. I'm going to just simply praise them for what they've allowed God to do through them. And of course, the Bible says right here, and then their anger was abated. They're done. They're no longer frustrated. And then in verse 4, and Gideon came toward Jordan and passed over. We're going to just get through the first part of this chapter. And passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint at pursuing. They're exhausted. They've been chasing and chasing and chasing. And Gideon and his men, they're tired. And look at what happens now in verse 5. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, and for they be faint. And I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. So he's chasing these other two leaders of Midian, right? Now, what do the people of Succoth know? What do they already know? Think about the story. What do they know from chapter 7? Right, that God has mightily worked through Gideon. That there's this huge group that has been overpowered by this small group, and now they're just chasing down the fringes of this group. And this is common knowledge now. Everybody's aware of this. This is like, wow, this news has spread like wildfire. The men of Succoth know what has been going on. They understand the circumstance of the situation. But yet, you would think that like the Ephraimites, they would be ready to jump on board and kind of be a part of it. Look what they say. And they said, verse 6, the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand that we should give bread into thine army? They're in essence saying, you haven't caught them yet, and we don't want to get them upset at us. And they literally refuse to give bread to Gideon's men. Now, Gideon's men are exhausted. They're about to faint. And they said, nope, we're not going to help you. So look, go on. Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. He says, I'm going to come back and spank you a good one. That's what he says. I'm going to take a switch to your flesh. And verse 8 says, and then he went up to Penuel and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth has answered. Now twice, he's like, we're exhausted, we're tired, we're chasing the enemy. And he could have said, we're chasing the enemy for you. You will benefit from the victory that God is about to give us. We know God can give us victory, and everybody knows because they already know the other part of the story. And they're all like, well, you capture those men and we'll talk. And Gideon says, you know what, we'll talk after I capture them. You're right. But it won't be the way you think we're going to talk. And this is a wonderful illustration of Gideon not getting sidetracked, not getting frustrated. This mighty man of valor simply, okay, you don't want to help us? They've gotten no food. They've gotten no provision. They started out tired. Do you think they're tired now? They've been to two more cities. They're exhausted. They're still chasing these men down. So verse 9, he spake also to the men of Penuel, saying, when I come in again in peace, I will break down this tower. Now, Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their hosts with them, about how many men? 15,000, all that were left of the host of the children of the east. For there fell 120,000 men that drew the sword. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in the tents on the east, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the hosts. Now, he didn't get sidetracked, he didn't get distracted, and God led him to his victory. In spite of the fact that he was exhausted, in spite of the fact that he wasn't getting help when he asked for it, in spite of the fact that all those people were trying to kind of distract him and keep him from going that way. In spite of the fact that he's got the Ephraimites to deal with, he finally gets to the victory that God has promised him. So our lesson, here it is. One, don't get sidetracked, right? Three times, Gideon had reason to get very sidetracked, maybe even discouraged and quit. You know, I mean, I can imagine how difficult it is to be busy about the work of God and busy, and you're exhausted from it, and you're listening to these people whine over here, and these people over here are still doubting whether you're doing anything right, and these people over here still question whether God's still with you, and he just kept focused. So when you're doing something for the Lord, don't get sidetracked. There's going to be a lot of opportunities. When you're doing something for the Lord, here's second lesson, learn how to make peace in situations. Let me give you a quick and easy one for parents. And I say this, my kids say, I wish I practiced it probably more often. But see the humor in something. In a family situation, you know, how many times do you, that thing which is making you so angry and frustrated at this moment, 2 years later, you're sitting around the dining room table and you're telling the story and everybody's laughing because it was the funniest thing that had happened to the family in a long time. Now, at that moment, it was frustrating, but if you're going to be able to see the humor in 2 years, why can't we just pull back earlier and just kind of realize that there's not a lot of reason to get upset, that in the long run, in the scheme of things, this isn't a big deal, and this is where Gideon seems to be. This isn't a big deal. Just take a breath. God's using both of us. This isn't a big deal, all right? You don't want to help us? Fine. God's still with me. We're going to go. And Gideon doesn't allow himself to get sidetracked. He doesn't get all frustrated and tempted to quit and things like that. What can we learn about this? To keep our eye on that goal, right? To press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is where God wants to bring us. So we're going to stop there in our study of Judges. Let's have heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment.